Hello, and welcome to All God's Creatures Pet Podcast. Today we'll be speaking with a lifetime friend of mine, Ashley Godwin. Ashley has come a long way from owning just one horse to now owning an establishment that offers boarding, riding lessons, horse sales, coaching for horse shows, summer camp, and to me the most impressive, hosting horse shows at Rivermont Farms. Before we go any further, let me go ahead and give you the website address. It's www.rivermontfarm.com. Okay, Ashley, are you there?
I'm here.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, like I said, Ashley and I have been friends since we were 3 and 5, so bear with us if we get a little giggly. Ash, you've come a long way. I remember when you got your first horse, Sultan, you were about 10, right?
Right.
And you got him as a birthday present?
Right. I got him, it would have been July of 85. It was right before I turned 10. And this was after years of begging my father for a horse. It wasn't just a spur-of-the-moment decision. And I took lessons and really proved to him that I was truly hung up on having a horse. So the mistake that was made is we went horse shopping alone. We didn't take anyone with us that knew anything about horses. And Fulton was a little wild in the early days, as you may remember, but after some good coaching from some good trainers, he ended up being really great.
And how old is Sultan now?
He is in, we think, about 30, maybe in his early 30s, but he's still going strong. I'm using him in riding lessons. He's showing and still winning. It's great.
I've never owned a horse, but I've heard that the upkeep of a horse is very expensive. And your family wasn't exactly financially wealthy, so how did you afford the upkeep of Sultan?
Well, you know, both of my parents worked extra jobs. Dad delivered Domino's pizzas and anything we could do to, you know, make some extra money. As you'll remember, I got my first real job at age 11. You know, I was working at a horse farm near our home and, you know, didn't make a whole lot of money back then, but as I got to be about 16, I started making minimum wage working at this farm, and not only did I learn so much working for this lady, you know, it helped support the horse shows and proper care for the horses.
Right. And you started out barrel racing, from what I can remember, so tell me why you got out of that event.
Well, yeah, it seemed like a good idea. Sultan was a little wild, and he liked to boogie. And, you know, after I wasn't very good at it, Dad told me I had to quit, so I got into jumping. And Dad never complained ever again after that.
And then you got the opportunity to exercise racehorses. What was that like?
Well, yeah, I exercised racehorses on the track in exchange for riding lessons. That was another way I paid for lessons. And it was just exhilarating. It was so much fun. And, you know, we would exercise them during the week, and it was a 3/4-mile track. And then on Saturdays, we would do what they call breezing them, which is where you kind of race, basically, against the other horses that are exercised at the same time. And, oh, it was just really cool.
Can you really tell the difference in the speed when you're galloping a racehorse and when you're galloping just a regular horse?
Oh, yes. I mean, they are booking it. You know, they are doing, I mean, I'm not expert in this field, but I would say a good 45, 50 miles an hour. And that's what they're trained and bred to do. So they are fast.
Were you ever scared when you were on top of a racehorse?
No, not really. That's what's kind of odd about me is I don't think I've ever been a fearful type or a panicky. You know, that's what can get you into trouble when you're riding is getting scared. They know it. You know, you have to be confident. And, of course, there's moments that have kind of gone wrong that you kind of have that feeling in the back of your head that, oh, Lord, I hope I live. But, no, I never really was scared. It was a lot of fun.
And then you went into, I call it hunter jumper because I know you did something with hunters and something with jumpers, and you started showing in those events. What is it that you love so much about hunters and jumpers, and why is it that you specialize in that event?
Well, it's a common term. You'll hear hunter jumpers all the time. And then I've heard some trainers just cringe. They say, oh, I hate hearing that term. But what it is hunters are judged. They jump, but they're judged on their quality and just the overall performance and their consistency. And jumpers, they jump too, obviously, but they're timed. That's what you'll see in the Olympics, our show jumpers. They have to clear the obstacles in a certain amount of time allowed without knocking anything down. Personally, I love the jumpers because there's no politics. There's no judging. It's you and the clock. And it doesn't matter how much your horse cost or, you know, anything fancy about you. It's you and the clock. I love the challenge of the skill that's required to ride hunters in jumpers. It's truly, I think, an art that you constantly have to improve and work. I mean, I've been doing this most of my life, and I feel like I still have a whole lot to learn. So I really like the challenge, I think.
With the hunters, what do they judge?
You know, they're looking, obviously, for a pretty horse. I mean, just to make it sound simple. They like a nice-looking horse that, you know, hunters originated from field hunters or fox hunting, you know, where they go out in the field and they hunt down the foxes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when I've judged horse shows, I'm looking for a rider that comes in with a nice-looking horse that has a nice, consistent canter that doesn't go too fast or too slow, that leaves before the jump at the proper spot and has nice form over the fences. I mean, there's a lot you look for. You're just, you know, really judging the quality of the horse and the whole performance in general.
Have you ever been hurt jumping?
Oh, of course. And most recently, last month at a horse show, you know, it never feels good to fall. I don't think I've had too many falls that didn't hurt at all, but you know, I had a horse go up to a rather large fence, and she locked it down, and it was all my fault. It was not her fault. She's a green horse, and I went over the jump and landed on the other side, and it was very impressive. She tore down the whole jump, and I got up limping. I may need a hip replacement, but some people caught my horse, and I hopped right back on her, and I told them to set the jump back up, and I wanted to jump it again. And I will say, you talk about fear, you know, as I picked up a canter and headed towards the fence, you're thinking, oh, dear Lord, don't let it happen again because you're in so much pain from the first fall. But she jumped it and did great. And we still got third place. That's important. So
yeah, that's not bad at all.
Yeah, no, we were in the jump off, which is, you know, with the jumpers, you do round one. And if you have a clear round, you the people who don't have time faults and don't knock any poles down come back in for the jump off. Of course, only three of us made the jump off, so that's why I got third, because I don't think you're supposed to come off of the horse in the jump off. But still got third place. And but yeah, I mean, you know, you have falls. I can't think of anything like the worst fall, because I've had several bad ones, but nothing, you know, that was real serious. I've had three concussions that I went to the hospital for, and that's why you need to wear a helmet when you ride a horse. I have a lot of kids come out that just think it's sissy to wear a helmet, but you know, I'm 31 years old and I do not get on even a lesson horse that's dead quiet without having a helmet on. You've got to just think, a horse could trip and fall with you, which I have had happen before on the most gentle horse I own, and that was one of my concussions. I forgot my age. I didn't know what year it was because I was riding her without a helmet and she tripped and fell. So you just have to.
I'm not sure that was a concussion.
No, you don't think so?
I'm just kidding.
Hey, that was crystal. I was just going to say, for those of you listening that are familiar with my riding lesson horses, that was Crystal, who I put three-year-old kids on. So if I can fall off and whop my head on that one, you can fall off of any of them.
You also got the opportunity to be a stunt double for Lucas Black in the Disney movie Flash.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember you had a dramatic change in your appearance for preparation for this movie. So tell our listeners about that, and then what you actually did in the movie.
Well, I auditioned for the part against several other people, and had no idea at the time it was a Walt Disney movie. And in fact, the director of Flash, his name is Simon Windsor, and didn't realize he had directed some of all animal lovers' favorite movies: Free Willy, Operation Dumbo Drop, Far Lap, Bluegrass. I mean, he's done some great, great movies. Lonesome Dove, you know, Man from Snowy River. So, but I didn't know that, thank goodness, because I'm sure I would have blown it if I had been nervous. But rode for them. They liked me. They just told me I had to cut my hair, which I had very long hair at the time. And anyway, they broke it to me that if I wanted the part, I was going to have to shave my head. And at first I told them, no way. It wasn't, you know, I don't care how much you pay me. But I called my mom, and she told me I was crazy if I didn't do this, that I would regret it. And so I agreed to do it. And then I found out who the director was, and so I was really excited after that. But they went in one day before the movie started, and they literally took clippers and buzzed all my hair off.
Oh, that had to be just heartbreaking, though, seeing it fall.
No, it was funny. It was funny. You know, we giggled, and I'll never forget Lucas came into the dressing room and saw, you know, he was only about 14 at the time, and he saw him shaving my head, and he said, dang, you know, he's real country. He says, dang, girl, you're crazy. But we were great buddies. I mean, you know, it was really cool. I had my own dressing room, and I ate lunch and dinner and everything else with the director and all the stars of the movie. And, you know, he and I had to be together at all times because anytime the horse was, you know, Lucas had never ridden before, so anytime the horse was doing anything that could have possibly gotten him hurt, they find some dodo bird such as myself to step in and risk their neck instead. So that's what I did. And, you know, for the people that know me well said they were able to recognize me. But they tell you to hide your face and turn away. But if any of you get the movie, that's my picture on the back cover. And, you know, those dirty rats gave me no credit in the credits. I think I deserve my name if I'm going to shave my head off, don't you?
Really? Now, was being involved in the production of a movie what you expected?
Yeah, I mean, well, I didn't know what to expect. You know, I had obviously not been in too many movies. It was a lot of work. I mean, we worked a good 16 hours a day, and I lived an hour and a half from where we were filming. We were filming out towards Conyers in Covington, Georgia, and it was very hard work. I mean, I remember the race scene that we filmed. It took about 3 days to film that. We filmed it at the Georgia International Horse Park, and my hands were so raw from the reins. They just had blisters and were bleeding. And that's how I learned from one of the horse wranglers that you can put super glue in your blisters, and they seal it up, and you can still ride without crying then. So,
oh,
I mean,
how
it was
fabulous.
Now you know, yeah. So, I mean, it was really it was something else. I mean, I learned so much, and I'm so glad I did it because also a lot of the kids I teach, you know, they just think it's the coolest thing in the world.
I'm going to have to write that down, super glue and blisters.
Yeah, you can
keep
do a whole new show.
Keep that husband of mine working, you know.
Yeah, you can do a whole new show on super glue.
You also trained with an Olympic rider, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. It was a clinic with him. His name was Greg Best. He was a silver medalist in the 88 Olympics. And I'm always looking for new, great people to learn from. I mean, if you reach a point that you think you know it all, then you've got a problem. So I am just a huge believer in learning as much as you can from as many people as you can. My goal is to ride with Ann Krasinski. She's a four-time Olympian, and I have just idolized her for about 17 or 18 years, and I've spoken to her on the phone. So I'm hoping very soon to get a chance to ride with her. It's just a matter of timing and money and having a horse that can do it.
Yeah.
And another trainer I really look up to is Clinton Anderson. He's from Australia. He's on RFD TV. I'm sure a lot of horse people out there are certainly familiar with him. I went to see him this summer, and gosh, he's just amazing. I learned so much from him.
Now let's move on to the present and your work with Rivermont Farms. I am so impressed with the fact that you're hosting horse shows now there. What is that all about, and how'd you get into it?
Well, when we moved up here from Fairburn, which is just south of Atlanta, we moved up here in September of 2002, and it was really tough to be able to eat because I was trying to board. I was trying to do anything I could to make money, but when nobody's heard of you when you move to a new part of the state, and it was just tough. So I decided to do the horse shows thinking it would draw people to my farm and get me some recognition, so maybe I'd get some more riding lessons, some more boarders. I had no idea it was going to grow into what it did and has. I mean, in 2 years, we've gone from about 12 entries per show to over 50, and we probably have 200 to 300 spectators. And they are expected to get even bigger this year. So You know, I buy really good ribbons. It's a lot of kids, but there are adults too. So any adults out there, you know, come on down and show. But I buy really snazzy ribbons and trophies and prizes because I just want to make it a really fun experience. It's great to know that these kids are going to remember this for the rest of their life. So it's just wonderful that it's turned out the way it has. I never dreamed it would grow like it has. And we're drawing riders from Chattanooga, Atlanta. We've got some people that come from Gadsden, Alabama. I mean, they're coming from everywhere, and it's so much fun.
I think it's just fantastic. You were into horse rescue, too, for a while, weren't you?
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a sucker, and I've never gotten into formally doing a rescue, but if I come across some poor soul that's skinny and needs a home, I can't say no. You know, we recently bought a mare at an auction about 3 months ago, I guess, that, oh, she was just pitiful. We got her for practically nothing, and she was skin and bones, and she is just the love of my life. She is so cute. She's a little white horse, about Sultan size. She's about 14 hands, and rides, does everything, you know, and all she, and she's fat as a pig. She needs to be on a diet now, you know. So, and we named her Cupcake, and it's going to be my little girl's pony.
Aww.
So she will be here till she dies. So it's a lot of fun when, you know, you feel like you can help them, and they really act like they appreciate it.
Now, for those thinking of getting a horse, we want to promote responsible horse ownership, so we want them to be well-informed. How much would you estimate that it costs in the upkeep of one horse per month, just in food, housing, grooming, blankets, and vet and farrier bills?
Okay, well, if it's your first horse, you've never owned a horse before, I highly recommend you board your horse at least 6 months to a year. My first horse, we boarded him for a year and a half before we moved him home. Board, depending on what part of the country you're in, you can pay a fortune for board if you're in, you know, near big cities. But on average, I would say usually between $300 to $400 a month. That should include your grain, your hay. Your farrier bills usually run, we'll say on average $50 every 6 weeks, depending on what you have done. It may be more if your horse needs more, you know, needs four shoes or needs special shoes. If he doesn't need shoes, it's usually about $25 for a trim. You always need to keep in mind that vet bills can pop up, and of course you're going to do maintenance with shots and deworming, you know, so that can get costly. If you buy your own deworming products, they aren't but say $3 to $12, and you need to do it every 2 months. But a vet bill, you know, you have to keep in mind an emergency vet bill can run several hundred dollars, and they always hit at the most inconvenient time, you know. They don't get
sick. That is the
truth. Right. They only get sick on Saturday and Sunday nights. It's the strangest thing. So you just always have to keep that in mind, and don't get one unless you're financially prepared to do so. It doesn't mean you have to be rich. It just means you need to be able to afford to keep one. If you can't afford one right now, just if it's for you or your child, get involved in riding lessons or, you know, do something where you can participate. Or a good idea is a lease. A lot of farms will have horses for lease that you don't actually pay a purchase price, but you pay part of their board or all of their board, and you have full use or partial use of the horse, you know, without the obligation of owning it. Or that's great for, say, a child that you don't know is going to stick with the horses, you know, so you're not going out and buying the horse, and then you're stuck with it when they turn into a teenager, you know.
Right.
So there's several different options. What I recommend for people is find a farm that looks clean and the horses look healthy, and you click with the personality of the person there, and let them help you make a decision on what to buy. I mean, don't just go out trying to do it on your own because you could end up buying something dangerous. And riding lessons, you know, they should run between $30 to $60 an hour, depending on where you live and who you're taking lessons from. You know, it's never a bad idea to learn how to properly care for them, properly ride them. It's a safety thing, if nothing else.
And how much time a day does it take to care for a horse? I mean, I remember you getting up early before school to go out and take care of your horses, and then when you got home from school, you had to do the same thing every single day.
And some things never change. Yeah, I mean, it's still the same way for me. I just have way many more horses. But I would say if you just have one or two in your backyard, plan on a half an hour or so to, you know, dump their feed, fill their water buckets, throw them some hay, you know. but, of course, make sure you have plenty of time to spend with them. It's like any pet. Don't just chunk them out in your backyard and forget about them. You know, they have feelings, too.
Now, what about tack? Because if they're going to ride the horse, they have to buy tack.
Right. I would say plan on a good, and this is, it's a hard one to say because it depends on what you buy, but plan on a good $500 to $1,000 for your basic tack. That's your saddle, saddle pad, bridle, and that's whether you ride Western or English. You know, and you're going to need a halter if it doesn't, if, you know, some horses may come with some of this stuff, but usually don't be surprised, even if you pay $5,000 or more for a horse, that they don't come with anything. The more they cost, the less stuff comes with them. That's another strange thing. But a good saddle, if you get a really good name brand saddle, can run from, you know, $500 to several thousand dollars. I had a boarder who had a custom-made English saddle that cost her over $4,000. So you can spend, you know, whatever you want. But I will say the more expensive saddles, and I don't mean $4,000 ones, but say, you know, $700-$800, you get what you pay for. That, you know, get a better saddle. Don't just get you a $100-$200 saddle. You know, what I learned along the way is that horses need for a saddle to properly fit them. I have seen horses, honestly, that if they have a saddle on them that doesn't fit them right, they will buck and throw a fit. And you'll just think the horse is being bad, but what they're doing is saying, you know, you're killing my back here. And so just, you know, make sure you get a saddle that fits. And get a better quality saddle, because you'll be able to tell the difference.
Well, that's kind of like having on a bra that's too tight. I mean, I don't blame them for bucking.
Right. Except, or, you know, or shoes that are too tight or don't fit. I mean, it, you know, you start limping after a while. So it's just you wouldn't think of a saddle being something that has to fit them, you know, if you're just thinking of chunking a saddle on their back.
Well, and for the person that would like to show their horse, they have to get the horse to the show, so they need a horse trailer, or someone like you that has a large horse trailer. So what's the cost in all that?
Oh, goodness. Well, you know, nowadays, and ask some of my customers, they can tell you and vouch for it, but a good horse trailer, and I love Featherlite, Sundowner. I mean, there's some really good brands out there, and a decent brand trailer, just a two-horse. We'll start nowadays at about $10,000. I mean, we paid about $10,000 for our two-horse in 1996. And a lot of people are amazed. They'll say it doesn't even have a motor, you know. How can it be 10 grand? But if you don't want to get the, you know, go to the expense of buying your own trailer, especially if you don't have a truck, I mean, then you got to look at buying a truck and the trailer, and, you know, you could go buy your house, you know, instead. So a lot of farms will offer a service of hauling your horse to shows. I own a 6-horse Featherlite, so when my kids or my students want to go to a horse show somewhere, I charge their parents, you know, a fee per mile or whatever for hauling their horse to a show. And a lot of parents are more than happy to pay me to do it so they don't have to mess with it.
Right. So the bottom line here is that owning a horse is a big responsibility and a pretty big expense. Please make sure you can afford a horse and are willing to spend the time that is needed to properly care for a horse before you purchase one. Now, Ash, I realize you're not a vet, but let's talk about some common diseases of horses and just the names of some common ailments and maybe signs and symptoms so that the new horse owner knows what to look out for.
Right. Well, of course, probably the most common that you hear of is colic. And
yep.
Anything, you know, I wish I knew exactly what caused every colic on earth, because, you know, that is the million-dollar question. We know that moldy feed can cause colic, or, you know, there's so many. I've seen horses colic from the weather changing suddenly, from going hot to cold, or it's just, it's bizarre. But some of the symptoms, you know, once you get to know your horse, it's what a lot of people are surprised to know is that a horse has a personality. I mean, they're not much different than a dog. Each horse is so different. So once you get to know your horse's personality, you'll notice when when they're colicky, they won't eat. They will a lot of times want to lay down. They want to bite at their sides. I mean, what colic is a horse can't throw up. And so they've got a stomach ache, and they hurt, you know, their belly hurts. So if you notice that your horse just isn't acting right, you know, colic is probably the number one killer in all horses. Call your vet. Don't risk it. You know, they'll want to roll. What can happen if they roll? Their intestines can get twisted, and I've had many a friend who have had horses die from this. And it started out.
Is it always bad if they roll?
Well, you don't want to let them do it. You know, I had a good friend years ago that she didn't want to yell at her horse and make him get up. He would lay down and roll and roll. And I was on the phone with her saying, I know you don't want to be mean to him, but make him get up. Yell at him, yank on him, whatever you got to do. Well, guess what? His intestines twisted because, I don't know for a fact it was because she let him roll, but I'm sure that did not help one bit. And he was euthanized that night. Oh. And they tell you, you know, when you notice your horse is acting a little colicky, get them on their feet, walk them, and call your vet and say, I am walking him. You know, I will walk him till you get here. I mean, walking does two things. It helps prevent them from rolling, and it gets their guts moving. You know, if they're moving around, it helps to get the stuff stirring around in their belly. And, you know, sometimes colic can be nothing. I had a little filly the other night, and I, thank goodness, don't usually get any colics around here, but we had one filly that was a little colicky. She had no interest in her dinner. She kept laying down. Well, if a horse is laying down after you've dumped their feed, something is wrong. I mean, horses live to eat. That's all they care about. So, but I've had horses long enough that I was able to give her a shot of Vanamine, which is a pain reliever for her gut, and which you wouldn't want to do that unless you had some experience with giving injections. But the vet is the one who gave me the Vanamine and said, if you notice any symptoms, you do it, and then if that doesn't work, call me. But luckily, that did the trick. She was fine. So I know it's a little graphic, but she was a little gassy, I think. But, you know, and also, gosh, a big thing I was reading about today on the Internet is down in West Palm Beach, where I was supposed to go show this winter, they've had an outbreak of a herpes virus, right? Isn't that what it was? I sent it to you. It's herpes virus.
Yeah.
And it's killed four horses so far, and it's an airborne virus. They said it's coming from horses sneezing. And good grief, you know. And so that I really don't know how to treat. I mean, all I know is that what I read is some horses are being euthanized because of it. So that's why it's important to keep your horses vaccinated. Of course, we've all heard of the West Nile virus, and there is a vaccine available for that. You know, talk to your veterinarian. If you get a horse, talk to your vet. Ask them, you know, what vaccines does your horse need? They can have vaccines once a year. Some people do them twice a year. It's just, you know, whatever your vet recommends.
Now, I've heard about white line disease. What is that?
Oh, it's just a deal with their hooves. You know, my farrier has tried to explain it to me. We have a mare here that had it a little bit. She went barefoot. She didn't have shoes. And when you pick up her feet, you'd see like a little white line between, you know, that kind of went around the edge of her hoof, and it caused the hoof to separate a little bit. And it didn't hurt her really, but he said if I let it go on, it could get worse. So he put shoes on her to correct it. So, you know, honestly, I'm not sure what causes that, but, you know, if you notice any strange things with your horse's feet, talk to your farrier, you know. And actually, if you're getting your horse's feet done regularly, he should or she should, you know, pick up on stuff like that.
Right. So colic is the main concern.
Yeah, I would say colic. And, of course, there's founder and navicular. And, you know, you can get on the Internet and do searches on this type of stuff and just read all about it. It's all over the Internet. But, you know, for the most part, provide your horse with a good quality grain. Horses cannot eat, you know, all – you don't just give them free choice food. It will kill them. Make sure you read the directions on the bag of feed as to how many pounds of grain to give them per, say, 1,000 pounds or whatever, you know, they go by. Horses are very sensitive creatures, you know. I have a cow that can eat anything and it doesn't bother him. But if you fed my horses what you can feed the cow, they would all drop dead. So you just have to be very careful. You don't want to feed them moldy hay. Give them a good grass hay. Give them clean water. I have seen some farms that never scrubbed out their water troughs. I mean, if it doesn't look like you would drink out of it, then it needs to be scrubbed out and cleaned. You know, just and keep them dewormed regularly, you know, every 60 days. if you'll follow these little steps, you shouldn't have too many too much trouble with them.
Okay. Tell me again about all the services that Rivermount Farms offers, and then give me your contact info so everybody will know how to get in touch.
Okay. We offer boarding, obviously. We have pasture board and full board, which means a stall. We do riding lessons for children all the way up to adults. I have several adults that come to me. We occasionally do a summer camp. Obviously, we have horse shows on the farm. They start in March. They'll go through October. We have, this past year, we put fabulous footing in our arena, which is a sand, type of sand we had put in, so it's, you know, if it rains, we can still hold the shows and do lessons. We attend horse shows all over the Southeast with our students, from beginner horse shows all the way up to the big stuff. So, you know, we just offer a wide variety of services. I really just want to promote fun in the horse world. I think that's gotten lost along the way for a lot of people, that, you know, we're in this because we love these magnificent animals, and it's all about the fun. And you can learn all about us on our website. It's Rivermont Farm, which is RIVERMONT.com, and you'll learn all about the horse shows. We can mail you, if you'll email us your address, we can send you a show program. And, you know, we invite you to come visit us anytime.
Don't you need sponsors, too?
Oh, yes. Thank you for mentioning that. Yes. We will be printing a horse show program in probably first part of February. These programs are distributed all over. We have a huge mailing list. Of course, they're put out in businesses all over and our horse shows, and we have tons of spectators coming. You know, if you have a business or a service or you just want to wish a rider good luck, whatever, we are selling ads in these in the show program. We're also looking for sponsorship, and all of that information is on the website, rivermontfarm.com. And the money is used to buy better prizes. Ask any kid that's ever been to any of my shows, and they go, oh, I love the ribbons. You know, we do great ribbons, and we're going to give away halters and saddle pads, and we even have a raffle to raise money for arena lights so we can have the shows at night, too. A friend of mine named Kim Douglas, who owns Hot Trot, which is a tack store in Ringgold, Georgia, she has donated two high-quality English saddles that we're going to be raffling off. So all this will be on my website. So we're just looking forward to having a great show season with great goodies for all the riders, and it's a relaxed atmosphere. Everyone says they enjoy coming because everyone's friendly. So please come see us.
And where are y'all located?
We are located in a little tiny town called Lyerly, Georgia, which is just outside of Somerville, Georgia. It's in northwest Georgia, just north of Rome, just south of Chattanooga. We're about 6 miles off the Alabama line, and it's very easy to get to. You know, wherever you're at, you can find us, and directions are on our website.
Okay, well, Ashley, I want to thank you so much for taking the time out to be a guest on our podcast. It was a whole lot of fun and great time reminiscing, too. You got to give Raj and Gracie, Dolores and Freckles a big old hug for me.
Yep.
And I want y'all to have a great Christmas.
Thank you. You too.
At this time, I'm going to play a song for my friend Ashley. It's called Hey Old Friend by Street Pilot. Some of the music featured on this pod show was provided by the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com.
I went walking, kicking up those golden years. Thoughts of summer long time gone, drifting on the gentle breeze. And on those magic days, when any dream could fly, you spread your wings and you said goodbye. Hey, old friend, remember all those memories we made. Shame those good old times have slipped away. Hey, old friend, the days seem so much brighter than somehow
they never end.
I've
Thank you all for tuning in to All God's Creatures Pet Podcast. Please have a safe and wonderful holiday.